Welcome to the HR Chat Show, one of the world's most downloaded and shared podcasts designed for HR pros, talent execs, tech enthusiasts, and business leaders. For hundreds more episodes and what's new in the world of work, subscribe to the show, follow us on social media, and visit hrgazette.com.
Systems thinking is an approach to problem solving that sees complex entities as a series of components, with each part interacting with and influencing the rest. The approach can be applied to managing organizations, and we'll be talking about the why, who, and how in this episode of the HR Chat Pod. Joining me today is Melissa Daimler, Chief Learning Officer over at Udemy, a leading destination for learning and teaching online. In addition, Melissa is a speaker, panelist, and contributor to Harvard Business Review and Forbes. Hey, this is Bill Banham, and I hope that you enjoy this conversation that I had a while back with Melissa. And if you do, please remember to like, comment, and subscribe. Hey, Melissa, welcome to the HR Chat Show today.
Thanks, Bill. I'm really excited to be here.
So, Melissa, beyond my wee introduction there, why don't you start by taking a minute or two and telling our listeners all about yourself?
So I have been in the tech world for, I just say, over 20 years. I've run learning and organizational development at Adobe, Twitter, WeWork, and I'm now at Udemy. I've been there for over a year, and it's a great opportunity not just to head up learning and organizational development, but to also work directly with our customers and be part of the product. So it's been a really fun career, and I feel really lucky to have been at some of the great companies I've been at. I think the theme throughout my entire career has been this idea of systems thinking. I've always been really interested in not just individual development, but also how that ties to the organization and organizational development. And so I was always looking at, how does one issue link to another? If we solve an organizational design issue over here, how does that impact the strategy? So I've had that as a theme throughout my career. And I think that's part of what led to me writing a book on culture, which essentially is looking at the whole organizational system. So the book is called Reculturing, and it's all about how to design a culture intentionally. Till I started researching the book, I didn't actually realize that culture as a concept, workplace culture, has been around for over 70 years. But I kept looking for papers and books and articles that would help me really operationalize culture and go beyond a lot of what I would say are more nebulous definitions. You know, when I ask people what culture is, they say it's an organizational soul, it's the personality, it's what happens when the boss leaves the room. And none of those definitions give us agency or give us, kind of the opportunity to design and operationalize culture. And I experienced and had the opportunity to do that at many of the companies that I was at. So I wanted to create a playbook for practitioners, for people who were inside of companies, both leaders and employees, who are really trying to define and create a culture that is evolving. I also talk about the idea that it's not just a noun, it's a verb. Culture is something that is living. You know, we're strengthening or weakening our culture every time we make a decision, every time we communicate. And so I wanted to share the point that it's something that we need to actively be contributing to every day.
Genos North America is a global team of changemakers using emotional intelligence to enhance how we connect, communicate, and collaborate at work. And we are proud to support this episode of the HR Chat Podcast. Transforming essential people skills at work makes a difference to people's relationships outside of the workplace. Using our tools, people become better parents, partners, siblings, and friends. That's why we call our work game-changing for business and life-changing for people. Learn more at genosnorthamerica.com.
I want to talk to you more about this idea of culture. And as you mentioned earlier, it's been around for a long time within the world of work. So how has the definition of culture evolved?
I think culture is really how we work together. It's not the ping pong tables. It's not the happy hours. It's not the free food. Those were all great, but I think people conflated fun and those kinds of things related to an office environment to culture. My experience and what I write about the book is it's more than even values. I think a closer definition to culture is more common, which is it's the values. But when I experienced, you know, talking to employees at many of the companies I was at and asked them, well, what does that value mean to you? There were hundreds of definitions. And so I think that we need to go beyond defining our values and codify them more clearly into behaviors. So if I were to be at a company that has a value of innovation, what does that mean to that company? You know, what are some of the behaviors that I would be seeing employees do? So behaviors is the first component of how I define culture. And then the other two pieces are processes and practices. So processes meaning it's the life cycle of an employee. So hiring, the interview questions you ask, the onboarding, the how you recognize people, how you give feedback, all of those kinds of processes should have the behaviors that you've identified integrated into them. And that's what keeps the culture alive and useful, frankly, and not just a separate set of values that sits somewhere on a website. And then practices are really the everyday kind of things that we do. So our meetings, how we communicate with each other, how we learn with each other, all of these kinds of things need to be actively evolving and renewed. We talk about in my team every quarter, you know, our team practices and how we're communicating, how we're meeting. Does this still work? If we have new team members, you know, we have to make sure that we're including them in how we're working together. So behaviors, processes, and practices is how I define culture. And it seems to resonate for a lot of people in, you know, helping them to provide tools to do this themselves in their own organizations.
That was a fantastic answer. Wow, gosh, I was jotting down so much there. And I've got a bunch of follow-ups on the back of what you just said there.
Thanks for tuning in to the HR Chat Podcast. If you're enjoying this episode, we'd really appreciate it if you could subscribe and leave a 5-star review on your podcast platform of choice. And now, back to the conversation.
You teased us. You kind of suggested that you might know what some of those behaviors are of a company that is, you know, based on innovation. So maybe you can share some of those with us, because I'm sure that lots of our listeners would love to know what kind of behaviors they can encourage to create more innovation.
Yeah. Well, I think the point of all this is that every company has to define its own behaviors. And I do believe that culture is co-created. It's not just a top-down kind of focus. It's definitely needed to have the leadership be behind, you know, how we're even defining culture and what it is, but it needs to be co-created with employees. And so the exercise itself of defining those behaviors is a huge opportunity for a company to really have cohesion and have alignment in how they're working together. So when I talk about behaviors, I emphasize certain criteria that, you know, they have to be positively framed. They have to be global. You know, we don't want any kind of idioms. They have to be single barreled. So there's ways to define these behaviors that make it much easier for them to go into each of those processes that I highlighted before. But I'll give you an example. Like when I talk about innovation, I was working with two different companies who both had the value of innovation, but one company was really keen on being faster. Like they wanted more ideas, they wanted to be more innovative, and they just felt like they weren't doing that. The other company felt like they had too many ideas. They actually wanted to slow down the innovation engine because they were putting too many resources, too much time into the whole kind of ideation process. So they wanted to focus more on quality. And the other part I talk about behaviors is, you know, a lot of these can be aspirational. And so the company that wanted to go faster created a behavior that said something like, we make it safe to get to version one quickly. And the other company that wanted to go a little slower had a behavior that said, we ask each other why. And so it was a signal in meetings when, you know, somebody said, hey, why are we doing that? It, you know, it wasn't, you know, meant to be, making anybody wrong. It was just, oh yeah, we created that as behavior. That's a signal for us to slow down and kind of think differently about, this idea. And if this is really the best route to go down in terms of that whole innovation focus. So it's just an example of two different companies, again, with the same value, but very different focus areas, and therefore very different behaviors were needed to help them get to where they wanted to go.
In the fast-changing new world of work, organizations that want to succeed must support their teams to develop the right skills for today and for the future. As practical learning experts, Halt EF Corporate Education helps organizations and employees of all levels to develop the critical business skills, attitudes, and behaviors they need to be successful. We combine the expertise and agility of a boutique learning partner with the resources of a trusted, global organization. Learn more at HaltEF.com.
Okay, thank you very much. And for those who perhaps want to learn a bit more about the idea there that Melissa mentioned about behaviors being how they can be aspirational, maybe check out a couple of episodes that I recorded with Stephen Chudletsky, who works over at Simon Sinek Inc. He talks a lot about this in terms of, for example, Stephen's book, The Infinite Game. Hey, Melissa. You've spoken so far about processes and how they should have behaviors integrated into them, and practices need to obviously evolve and renew all the time. Where does HR fit in?
I think HR has a huge role in this. I think that, HR partners very closely with the executive team to make sure that this process is co-created. I think that, you know, again, one of the other myths that I'd like to, no longer hear is this idea that culture is owned by HR, or, you know, I don't think we have them as much anymore, but there was a time where there were chief culture officers, or, HR was solely responsible for culture. So I just don't think that's the case. I think they play a huge role in culture, and especially in making sure the behaviors are showing up in how we're working. But in terms of defining those actual behaviors and making sure that we're reinforcing them and frankly modeling them across the organization is everybody's job. Again, while I think HR plays a huge role here, it is not solely HR's responsibility to make sure we have a healthy culture.
Okay, so one part of your job, which sounds pretty fun, is that you get to test out lots of ideas internally with Udemates. Is that how you say it? To bring best practices to the companies for which Udemy partners with. Tell me a bit about some of that. Any projects that you're particularly proud of that you're working on at the moment, or perhaps you've recently completed?
Yeah, I mean, we're actually going through a recoaching process now. So we, you know, I think we're at an inflection point that a lot of companies experience at 1,500 employees. We just went public last year, you know, and so we're looking at how we're evolving as well. And so we just went through a practice where we looked at our values. We updated a few, we added one, and then we just defined our behaviors. And so we're in the process right now of integrating those into all of the processes that I talked about. But we're going even further in, you know, when I talk about systems thinking, I think it's just really important that we're continuing to connect all of these pieces in an employee experience with each other. And so when we think about our values and behaviors, and then how we want to help employees grow and develop, we're making sure that that's the same context. And I'll give you an example. So one of our values is always learning, no surprise. But when we did this exercise, we realized that a behavior for us, when we think about good learning and the conversations that we have with each other, we're debating, we're constructively debating with each other and making sure that we're getting each other's point of view across. And so one of the skills that we're developing across the organization is how to have constructive debate. We are a very nice company, as is the case of a lot of growing companies, and a lot of people don't know how to do that, what that looks like. And so, again, we're kind of taking the value and behavior into a skill and making sure that everybody's equipped to be able to do the behaviors that we've defined. So that's something that we're doing right now. We're the idea is to do this with all of our behaviors and make sure people understand, you know, what are the skills needed to exemplify those behaviors, so that again we're all contributing to the culture. So that's a big project that I'm really excited about right now.
Melissa, you're not going to believe this. I'm afraid to say we are out of time for today. Listeners, I will be including a link in the show notes to Reculturing. Please do check it out on Amazon. Get yourself a copy. I'll also be including links so you can connect with Melissa on LinkedIn and other awesome places. But that just leaves me to say for today, Melissa, thank you very much for being my guest on this episode of the HR Chat Show.
Thanks, Bill. That was fun.
And listeners, as always, until next time, happy working.
Thanks for listening to the HR Chat Show. If you enjoyed this episode, why not subscribe and listen to some of the hundreds of episodes published by HR Gazette? And remember, for what's new in the world of work, subscribe to the show, follow us on social media, and visit hrgazette.com.